Yeah, welcome everyone to episode 4.
Number 4.
Just like a sweet little cover drive all the way to the boundary.
Well, mate, that's right, mate. Like your heyday, mate. Was that your signature shot?
Oh, the slog through the offside might have been my signature shot. But, yeah, look, you're at the right place. If you're a couch potato or a sports tragic, you've come to the right place to listen to me, the sportsologist, and to Jordan.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. So, mate, there's been a bit going on, isn't there?
There has been a bit going on, but just before we get into that, I'm just going to talk about a little bit of a background story. I told you the story of Dennis Lilly last episode and how he asked the Queen for an autograph, and you sort of looked at me as if I was taking the piss out of you.
Well, only because I thought the Queen wanted Lily's autograph, you know, like that. I thought that was a natural way to go. But you can imagine all those like larrikins. I didn't know whether it was Lily that was doing the piss take by asking for the Queen's autograph.
Well, I think it was a bit of a piss take by him. But the background of the story, I couldn't remember when it actually happened. And it happened in the centenary test.
Ah, okay.
On the fifth day when the players all met the Queen. They all lined up and all wearing their blazers, and Dennis had his pen and paper in hand, and there's quite a famous photo of it. And he asked the Queen, and she politely rejected that, saying that look, if she signed it in front of all these people, then everyone would probably want one and she'd never get out of there, basically.
Still, he must have been, you know, shattered.
Well, the funny thing was he actually forgot all about it after a while, I think, because we did win that centenary test by exactly the same amount of runs as the very first test match in Melbourne.
Right.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Where do you bloody get these stats from, mate? Bloody hell. Well, mate, that's a good one.
I'm the sportsologist.
I know. I was leading you in there.
And, so exactly the same winning margin, 45 runs, as it was in 1877. And anyway, so they must have celebrated for a week. But after a week, Dennis Lilly actually got some correspondence or communication from Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, right.
And they said that they wanted to send him something.
Okay. So wasn't it, the Queen, was it?
No, it wasn't. But so in the mail came a package, and he opened it up, and it was actually a framed photo of the moment he asked the Queen for her autograph.
Yeah.
And it was signed by the Queen.
Nice.
And he says to this day it takes pride of place in his house amongst all his memorabilia and stuff. It takes pride of place.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, regardless of how he went in and whether he was, you know, having a lend or not, to actually get that, you'd be totally chuffed, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's great. You know, and of course, DK Lilly, to me, I mean, I watched him as I grew up watching cricket. In my mind, is the best fast bowler of all time. I might be a bit biased because I'm an Australian, but definitely had all the skills, had a long career, held the world test record at one stage there with 355 wickets. And that was missing out on a couple of years there of World Series cricket because all those super tests were never acknowledged as test matches.
Yeah, right.
And had a couple of years out with that back injury in 1973, had to virtually rebuild his body and then virtually rebuild his run-up and his whole technique so he wouldn't get injured again. He was in plaster for nearly 6 months, his whole torso, something like that. Yeah.
I don't think the common punter would actually know that. So to see that, you know, Lilly overcome that and become like the literal legend he is, says a lot.
Well, he was the...
No wonder he got an autograph.
Exactly. He was the consummate professional. Yeah. And that's why a lot of our fast bowlers, from Cummins to Stark and those guys, all actually lean to Dennis Lilly as a mentor.
Yeah, and looking back on those days, he was West Australian, like with Marsh, and there actually was a big West Australian brigade back then as well, from memory. Yeah, they had Wood, didn't you, and Hughes and...
Oh, in the sort of the early 80s, yeah, those guys did come through. There was quite a few Western Australians in the side. Speaking of Marsh, Court Marsh Bold Lilly is still the world test record for the most dismissals by a partnership of wicketkeeper and bowler, and that's 95 wickets, 95 times the entry court-martialed bold Lily was in the scorebook.
And that's without an aluminium bat, mate. Doesn't that, does it?
That's another one, the aluminium bat.
I was actually, I watched that.
I did too. I was watching it live.
Then he threw it, didn't he? He had a full spit.
He had an absolute shits and threw it because they said he can't use it. It's damaging the ball.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the early 80s, that was.
Yeah.
He actually, I think he invested a fair bit of money into the development of it.
I was going to say, I think it's probably a bit more to the story. Where's his sponsor, Alcoa? Jeez.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah.
BHP.
Yeah, BHP. But, yeah, he invested a bit of money into it. So I think he had the shits about that.
Yeah.
Thinking. Yeah. I mean, I remember playing baseball with sort of aluminium bats and it didn't make a sweet sound like
like
the wooden bat. Yeah.
But, I don't know too much about, but they use aluminium bats now, don't they? Baseball, do you know?
Well, not in Major League Baseball, they don't, I don't think.
No, okay.
Yeah, don't think so, no. I think it's a timber or wooden bat. Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway.
Same reason.
Yeah.
Heard about Lily and said you're damaging the ball. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I rate him up there as the greatest fast bowler of all time, closely followed by Wasim Akram, the left-hander from Pakistan, who was an absolute freak, quick and swung it both ways and had a great bouncer.
Mm.
Wonderful, wonderful bowler he was.
Yeah, there's been some, absolute legends. Interesting when you said about Akram, I thought about Imran Khan. He went on to... do some interesting things with politics, didn't he?
He's in jail.
I don't even have to go there, do we? But yeah. I think everyone goes into jail, buddy, in Pakistani politics, not Palestine. There you go.
Yeah, either that or, they're terminated, one of the two.
Yes. Not saying that loosely.
Yeah, exactly. But, Imran Khan was talking about him. He was one of the guys who really got reverse swing happening.
Mm.
He bowling on those fairly flat wickets over in Pakistan and Asia, he had to find a way of swinging the ball. So he worked out how to reverse swing, and he taught it to a lot of bowlers.
Mm. He was a good leader too. He stayed there for a while.
For sure. They won the 92 World Cup here in Australia, I think Pakistan won. I think they beat England in the final. So great leader, and that's why I think he went into politics. He was fairly revered, but we don't want to get into politics ourselves.
Definitely not.
Well, we could talk about Australian Prime Minister's bowling balls in India, was it? Johnny Howard?
Did he? Oh, well, he was a tragic.
And it was a tragic effort. Don't you remember that one where he bowled the ball and it landed halfway down the wicket?
I think I've blocked that out, that one. so some things are too traumatic to,
Bob Hawke
keep
was
in the forefront.
Bob Hawke was a tragic, cricket tragic, and he actually got hit in the face by a ball in a social game, I think, between Parliament.
Oh, that's right. He was going for the hook shot.
Yeah, and it's got a famous photo of his glasses being thrown off his face. And
yeah, he was going for the big over cover, wasn't it?
Oh, a big cow corner, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Sir Robert Menzies was, I think we've said before, we may not have, he was a great cricket tragic, and he started the Prime Minister 11 games in Canberra there. Wonderful events to go to.
Because you can.
Mm. I had my Bucks Day at one. It was a sensational day.
Excellent, mate.
Yeah. No.
Did you know who was playing?
I think they were playing it. That was against Pakistan because Shoaib Akhtar was advertised playing and he didn't play.
I was just trying to work out how good a Bucks Day it was, mate. That's all.
It was great. It was a good Bucks Day. I had stamina. I was up late. Stayed up late. But yeah, good day. Great day's cricket. Wonderful Manuka Oval. I played a lot of cricket at Manuka Oval, but it is a really intimate sort of ground. It's, as I said to you before, the actual playing surface is as big as the MCG.
Yeah. Well, they've played quite a few AFL games. I think the North Melbourne, who are struggling, they've. Yeah, they try to get going in Canberra, but they try to get going everywhere and still haven't. So anyway.
Do GWS play a few games there? I think they might.
Yeah, so they go down there now because they're obviously Western Sydney, so they're trying to capture that market as well. Because even though they've had a fairly good success story, GWS, I mean, they got Kevin Sheedy in, who's a legend, to start the club off, and they look more at a building phase. They brought in a couple of couple of sort of ring-ins, for want of a better word, to make it look good. But it was a pretty balanced side, and that's why they are where they are. And the Gold Coast Suns, who entered the competition, I think, 2 years before them, are still struggling. They haven't made the finals.
Yep.
I put a big part of that. They put a lot of money into a guy by the name of Gary Ablett, which is good thinking, you would think, on paper. But because he was so dominant, I don't think it allowed the rest of the team to grow through. But that's not unusual for a lot of sides. Different to NRL, of course. You know, you got your halfback. I mean, your halfback drives people into the game.
Yep.
And that's why that's such a good position, of course, and one of the highlights of NRL.
Just quickly back to Marnica Oval. You might not know this, but the scoreboard there at Marnica Oval is the old MCG scoreboard.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, they dismantled it when they went to a big screen at the MCG and a big digital screen. They dismantled the MCG scoreboard, the old one that had been there for, I don't know how many years, probably 100 years,
yep.
And took it to Marnica Oval and reinstalled it.
I never knew that.
Yeah. And it's called the Jack Fingleton scoreboard. Jack Fingleton was a famous test player back in the 30s, and he became a political journalist.
Okay. All right.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, righto.
Political journalist. And he was there had a long career, and he wrote a lot of books on cricket and things like that, and played a bit of cricket in Canberra first grade as well, just after the war. And So, yeah, Marnica, as I said, I've played a bit of cricket there. It's a beautiful, beautiful ground. Mm. We'll have to venture down there one day. And
I think we have. You got like an anniversary coming up, 2025th. You're going to relive old days?
Well, it just...
We had to stay up till 8 o'clock now, wouldn't we?
We could, yeah.
have a big night.
We've just missed the centenary of ACT cricket by, I think, a couple of years now. Cricket was first played in Canberra, I think, in 1922, so the big centenary. So
must have been the first year. When was Canberra actually created? When was bloody...
Oh, it started.
It must have been close to that.
Yeah, well, they turned the first
sod. Welcome to Canberra. Here's cricket.
Yeah, they turned the first sod. I can't remember, but it was the Queen Mother and the King at the time turned the first sod. Probably, I don't know, in the mid teens, 1915,
Look it up. Someone tell us.
Someone ring in, put it on the comments, and tell us what it is. But we're sort of getting off the track there a little bit, but that's all right. Yeah, so getting back to GWS, are they on top of the ladder at the moment, or they had a loss?
Oh, they dropped a game. So they probably could have. They dropped a game on the weekend. They probably could have got up, but didn't. But it was. Yeah, they're doing well, and they'll be thereabouts. Obviously, this talk quick AFL. The Swannies are doing very well. Geelong won the premiership, absolutely flogged the Swans. She's on 80, 90 points, something ridiculous, years ago.
Yes, I remember that game.
Yeah, and then dropped out of the finals last year, and now they're back with a vengeance. They've had some really good wins. They beat Brisbane and Brisbane, among others. So they're six zip.
They're undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated, six zip.
And
Chris Scott just keeps, the coach just keeps, they just keep delivering.
Yeah, and North Melbourne's zit
so
six.
So North Melbourne.
They're the opposite.
So, yeah, well, they got a coach in Alistair Clarkson, who was the coach of the Hawthorn, great Hawthorn era. Were there four premierships, I think, Hawthorn under him, and at least three. And then, so he was hailed there to go as a bit of the saviour. 18 months later, and there was some controversy with him and also Chris Fagan, who's the Brisbane coach, when they're both at Hawthorn. He's had 18 months and they're probably doing as badly as they've ever done.
Well, they haven't won a game, so that, can't do any worse than that.
But not only that, they played Hawthorn, who
hadn't won a game either.
No, that's right. And there was only about 2 percentage points between them. And, yeah, they just not even close. And it was like they lost by 50 points, something like that.
That's really the bottom of the barrel, isn't it?
Well, it shows once again the have-nots. I mean, how far do you go into? Like, they've had priority picks. The draft, definitely favours. You get the first pick down the bottom, and then you can trade it off. Of course, you can do this, you can do that, and I can't see how, with the way it's all structured, and 18 now Tasmania's coming in a few years as well, that they're ever going to get out of there. Which makes you think, and then this is one of the questions, when they started to expand the AFL, and they tried this with the rugby union as well, didn't they, and NRL for a while, to try and expand it, you've got to question, where's the depth of talent? How many teams can you actually carry, and particularly carry, say, in Melbourne, even though Melbourne are obviously crazy AFL, I mean, Western Australia and South Australia, they're mad AFL as well, but they've only got two teams.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, you got to weigh it up. I mean, how long are you going to subsidise teams to continue?
Yeah, well, it's a bit like the Sydney teams in the NRL, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of them struggling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, once again, remember the old South controversy?
Yeah, well, they
had the fight tooth and nail when they were actually consolidating the NRL.
And, well, one of the founding sides in 1908.
Yeah, exactly.
And kicked him out for quite a while. I think it was nearly 20 years, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah. Well, South fought it. I can't remember the guy who was the president of the club, very passionate, put his own money on the
George
line.
George Piggins.
That's it. But, yeah, look at that. You know, they consolidated. West Tigers, Newtown got the boot. North Sydney.
That's right. And there's a bit of a push for North Sydney to get back in via either the Gold Coast or even Perth.
Okay.
So big. North Sydney's got a lot of money behind it. I think guys like Singleton and that, you know.
Well, they've also, I don't know if you've been down there, but they've also got a really good club. So it's a massive facility. So there's money definitely coming through there.
Yeah.
And it's a good oval there at North Sydney. Probably needs a bit of an upgrade now, but the ground itself isn't too bad.
From memory, it was very grassless and very hard, a very hard surface. Very tough on the bodies. So they play a lot of cricket there, North Sydney. It's quite a short boundary.
Yeah.
I think the women play there a lot. And, they don't have to really bring the ropes in very much.
Mm. But it does make you think, like, which way do you go? And do you keep expanding and to what end and to what purpose, really, when you're thinking about it? And if you could have a look at, you know, with good money be spent other worlds, then propping up the teams that have been floundering for a long, 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 long time. I mean, they tried AFL, like the same with NRL, might have been the same time. They tried to get Hawthorn and Melbourne to merge. That didn't happen. Fitzroy dropped off. Swans had to go to Sydney to survive. But you don't sort of see that now. You see the AFL is redirecting money to the languishing clubs.
Well, aren't the Brisbane Lions one of the relocated?
Oh, that's, yeah, sorry. So the Fitzroy became, it was the Brisbane Lions, Brisbane Bears. Yeah, that's right. Then they changed it to the Lions to honour the Fitzroy amalgamation, for want of a better word.
Yep. Yeah, okay. All right. We might wind this one up for a little bit. There's a bit of stuff there we can talk about in further podcasts for sure on that. It's always interesting how our conversations started off with DK Lilly and the Queen, and we ended up talking about the Brisbane Bears and the Brisbane Lions.
And amalgamating of competitions or not, which is a deep question, and it's something I think that, you know, you would have very opposing ideals and then thoughts on which way that should go, no matter what code you love or all codes.
Well, you've got a lot of passionate supporters of a lot of sides who don't want to see amalgamations, obviously. Mm. And South Sydney, as you said before, was a good example of that, a founding side in the Sydney first grade comp and, yeah, booted out. And, but look, plenty of sort of fodder for another podcast on that one. So we'll wind this one up and see where our next conversation takes us.
Definitely. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, mate.